And it needs our cooperation. It needs us to step out of the very limited sphere of our own selves, even our own spiritual self. And to take that step that we are not here for ourselves, we have never been here for ourselves. And then we can be welcomed back by this brotherhood of lovers of God who stand behind the veils of creation. And they will show us how to live in this world in accordance with the ways of God that are not written, because they are imprinted into the heart. And they can become alive for each of us, because each of us has a particular note to play, a particular quality of God to bring into the world, a particular quality of light. And it needs to be made known. We can no longer afford to wait in the shadows of our own self. We can no longer afford to wait in the shadows of this decadent society, obsessed with its own self-image, obsessed with its own self-worth or lack of self-worth. Does it matter? We can no longer afford to be obsessed with our own self-development, even our spiritual self-development. There is something else so much more important that is calling to us. And we need to know there are these masters of love who are here to help us, who are in accordance with the will of God. You see, there is the will of God and there is the will of man. And the masters of love have long left behind the will of man. They work according to the laws of love. And the laws of love are written in fire in the book of life. It is like certain things have to happen and certain things could happen. And we can make a contribution. We can step across this divide that separates our culture from the invisible world. And it is from the invisible world the grace and the help needs to come. And we need to know there is this connection made of the fabric of our own souls, made of the deepest qualities of our own being, that is waiting for us. And we cannot do it on our own. That is one of the reasons we are all here together. All different Sufi orders, different lovers of God are here together, because we cannot take this step on our own. It won't work. Yes, the mystical journey is always from the alone to the alone, from the oneness of your own heart to his greater oneness. But his greater oneness also contains within it the whole of creation, in which every atom of creation has its place, sings its particular song. And we need to know we are together in this. There are so many powers of darkness that are ranged in the world against anything happening. There are so many worldly power structures that like it the way it is, that don't want anything to happen. Because if this quality of love comes into the world, it will dissolve those power structures, just like the sun dissolves the snow of winter. Because freedom cannot be bought, but it can be given. And Sufis are lovers of freedom, because love is complete freedom. I always like this poem of Rumi's when he says, "Different degrees of domination and servitude are what you know as love. But love is different. It arrives complete, just there, like the moon at the window. Desire only that of which you have no hope. Seek only that of which you have no clue. This is not the Oxus River or some little creek. This is the shoreless sea. Here swimming ends always in drowning. You see, with love, nothing is impossible. There are no barriers to love. That is why Sufis destroy their enemies by loving them. We are never allowed to protect ourselves against our enemies. We love them to bits. That is why Sufis are so subversive, are so mischievous. They get in through the cracks of people's defenses, because love can go places nothing else can. And love has access even to the power structures of the visible world. And we have forgotten how to use love in that way. Sadly, our culture, our spiritual culture, has separated itself from the power structures of the world. We have retired into our own spiritual well-being, or spiritual angst, however you like to see it. A spiritual gathering like this is immensely powerful. And the more we look towards God, the more we open our hearts towards God, the more His light can come into our hearts, the more mischief we can make, the more we can dissolve the power structures of darkness. Not by wanting to do anything, just by being here for His sake, by being used, by allowing this energy structure of love to flow through us, by being together for His sake. That is why one of the greatest Sufi practices is just to be together, not to do anything. Like Rumi when he says, "Be with those who mix with God as honey blends with milk, with those who say, anything that rises and sets, that comes and goes, is not what I love." We have forgotten the simplicity of mystical love. You see, many souls have come together at this time to help humanity take a certain step. And these souls often, on the outer level, do not even know this, because we live in a culture of such isolation and forgetfulness. And they are needed. They are needed to help humanity. And they have been positioned in different places around the world, forming different groups where a certain congregation is needed. And they are here on the outer planes. And on the inner planes is this structure of love and light that has been woven by the friends of God, in which the friends of God are also present. And those two things have to come together. It is like something being plugged into a circuit. If it comes together, something can happen. Something can be made visible for the rest of humanity. And if it doesn't, then an opportunity will have passed, and the tide will go out. And yet again, humanity will have missed an opportunity. And that is why we are here together, because we are called somewhere to our beloved. Not just alone, but together. to make this connection, to come together with the friends of God that are there just behind the visible world, coming as close to the visible world as they are allowed to come, without disturbing the illusion of this world with their presence of reality too much. But there are these certain souls that are waiting to make this connection. There are groups of souls, because Sufis incarnate in groups to do a certain work together as a group. A group of lovers of God is very powerful on the inner planes. We don't understand this. We understand how telephones work, how computers work, but at least we understand how to use them. The esoteric science of how things work on the inner planes is not part of our everyday vocabulary. Maybe it will be. Maybe we will reclaim that part of our mystical heritage and live consciously as mystics in relationship to the whole of creation, in relationship to the energy structure of creation. And then this whole planet and humanity will become alive in a way that has not been seen for many thousands of years. The friends of God cannot do this work on their own. I remember my teacher, she said to me, look, the great ones are so powerful. They see the past, they see the future, they are one with God. But most of them don't have physical bodies. They need us here in this world, on this level of reality, to participate, to help them in their work. They, the friends of God, they know where we are. But we have to learn to look with the eye of the heart, with the eye of our own devotion, to make this connection so the inner and the outer can come alive together, cannot be discordant, cannot be in opposition. And then the energy will start to flow. And once you have had just a glimpse, just a vision of what that might mean, when the energy flows from the inner to the outer in full consciousness, when the inner world becomes visible in the outer world, then the names of God that are written in the Book of Life become accessible. Then humanity begins to recognize its true nature. We are not just physical beings. We are so beautiful, so powerful, so full of light, so full of love. And we each have our own particular purpose, our own particular gift, our own particular note to play. And how can you play your particular note if you don't hear the symphony, if you can't see the conductor? You're always off tune. There is so much love waiting to be lived, waiting to be woven into this world. And to me, mystical activism is to take one's place in the inner and outer worlds together. It doesn't mean to do anything special, because Sufis have always been ordinary people. Carpenters, potters, doctors, bankers, maybe even politicians. But through living our own ordinary life, just where we need to be, just where the great ones, just where our beloved has placed us, on this chessboard, this tapestry of life, which has been made with so much care, and if we can make this connection to this inner tapestry, which is incredibly dynamic, incredibly alive, then love can start to flow into the world in a whole new way, because it can carry the consciousness of love. And that is the step humanity needs to take, and that is the step the Friends of God are waiting to help humanity to take. When we talk about love, we are not even aware of the consciousness of love. There is a knowing of love, an awareness of love, a consciousness of love in which the whole oneness and multiplicity of creation are contained in full consciousness. And there is the possibility that that can be given to the whole of humanity. This mystical secret that is known until now only to initiates, only to those who have made the long, slow, solitary journey within themselves. They know the oneness. They know the real meaning of love. And there is the possibility, if we all work together, not just together on this plane, but together with those on the inner plane, that we can help to awaken that knowing, that wonder, not just for ourselves, but for humanity as a whole. If it is the will of God, there is something very special that can happen at a spiritual gathering, which is when the hearts of everyone present becomes one. Then a different frequency of energy starts to flow around the room. Because when hearts are one, they are one together in the same place, in the same time, in a place of no space and no time. And then permission is given for the name of God to become more visible for each of us, and also together. And then it becomes more visible for others elsewhere who need to know the name of God can be made visible, who need to know that their own dream of the beloved is possible, is real, can be lived. Then the whole frequency begins to change. Human beings are so powerful when they are aligned with His love for us. So we have a break for 5 or 10 minutes, then we have time for some questions if people want to ask. Somebody have a question?
Thank you. Yes, in hearing you speak, and I've read most all of your books, you refer to the soul in relation to God as feminine. Yeah. And I'm made aware of this by the constant reference to God as He.
Yeah.
And Him and His. Recently, I was at the 4th annual Murids retreat with my teacher, Shabda Khan, and there was a woman there who expressed her anguish, having grown up in the Christian tradition, with a constant reference to God as the masculine.
Yeah.
Also, during your talk, I perceived once or twice you're referring to the whole of humanity in terms of brotherhood. And personally, I feel the time is long past when we need to always include sisterhood in that, and not just act as if the whole of humanity is masculine. And when you were referring to this tradition of the 7 friends of God, or however many.
40 friends of God.
Yeah. Yes, I'd like to just ask you a question about that as well, which is to say, in this tradition, is there an acceptance that some of these are women as well as masculine, or is it always perceived that they're men?
Thank you for your question. Yeah, it is good to clarify it, because God, Allah, absolute truth, is of course neither masculine nor feminine. It has a tremendous awe-inspiring masculine aspect and an incredibly beautiful feminine quality. The relationship, traditionally, the relationship of the soul to God is feminine. There's a lovely story of Mirabai, this dancer in India, I think it was 14th century India, maybe wrong. And she was a princess and she gave it all up to become a dancer to Krishna. And she was in the jungle and she came upon a temple to Krishna, and she wanted to go in, and there was a very famous ascetic who wouldn't let her in because she was a woman. And she looked at him and she said, "Are not all souls feminine before God?" And he knew she was right and he let her in. This is, as far as I understand, it is part of the esoteric mystery of the soul to God. The soul is feminine before God, but is pierced by God's light. And why I personally refer to God as He, it has to do with the fact that for me the relationship to God is a love affair. And in my experience, my own personal experience, even as a man, that I am a woman when I am taken by God. It is It actually happens in this chakra here, in the throat chakra. The divine energy pierces the throat chakra, and one is just saturated with bliss upon bliss. And it can go on for hours. It is an extraordinary experience, and one is taken by God. And so, because that is my experience in relationship to the beloved, that's why I call the beloved he. But as I said, the beloved is neither masculine nor feminine, can never be masculine nor feminine, because that with a capital T is beyond. The Sufis have this lovely saying, in the name of he who has no name, that is such a name of he, in the name of that which has no name, but appears by whatever name you call him. And again, the term brotherhood or sisterhood, for me it is, you see, I have been trained since I was 22 to see human beings on the level of the soul. When I was 22, my sheikh did something to me and made me aware that I was a soul. And so I always see human beings on the level of the soul. And so for me, masculine or feminine is really irrelevant, because on the level of the soul there, although I say the soul is feminine towards God, as the soul of a human being, as a dynamic, living center of light and glory, is neither masculine nor feminine. And so brotherhood or sisterhood, for me, they are just words. And the friends of God are the friends of God. The soul, if it needs, what I find fascinating, for example, is that many souls, great souls, have chosen to incarnate in the physical body, of feminine physical body, because a certain work needs to be done at this moment in time through the feminine that cannot be done through the masculine. It has to do with the feminine's relationship to the whole of life, which is quite natural, and even to the physical world. The feminine actually has a different relationship, or the woman has a different relationship to the physical world than a man. And this is psychological, also has to do with the spiritual structure of a man. My teacher, he said, for example, that a woman is always pure. A woman can never be impure. It is like gold. A man has to purify himself. A woman is always pure. So whether the friends of God are, you know, I hope they are women too, because yeah, of course they are women, yes. Of course. I shouldn't tell you that, that's secret. Because how do I know? Somebody else. Yes.
How will the web of light become visible?
How will the web of light become visible? It is already visible. We just have to know where to look. It is a particular spectrum. It is there. It is present. And you see it with the eye of the heart. And we are part of it. Tonight we have been made part of it. A special energy was present that connected everybody's hearts here to that web of light. It runs through all of us now. Whether you choose to use this connection is entirely your free will. But when I said at the end of my talk that everybody's heart was one, something was given to connect everybody's heart to this web of light. It will be there for the rest of your life if you choose to use it. And if not, the connection will dissolve. Yeah? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, my mind still doesn't grasp it, but...
The mind, no, because our mind has been trained to think in rational terms of duality. And this doesn't function on that level. I think as we evolve in the next millennia, we will develop a new way of thinking that has to do with consciousness of oneness rather than consciousness of duality. Our way of thinking is automatically to think we are separate from something. We can only think about what we are not. We define ourselves by being separate. Our whole way of thinking is based on separation. And there is a consciousness that is based upon oneness, that is based upon similarity rather than difference. And it is a different spectrum of consciousness. It happens at a slightly higher frequency. It's much, much more dynamic. I always think the internet is a wonderful example of it, because in the internet one has the capacity to be everywhere at the same time. And it is like an image of this particular quality of consciousness that is everywhere at the same time. And how do you have access to the internet? You press the button on your computer. How do you have access to this web of light? You press the button on your heart. Where's the button? It's so simple, you know. It is so simple. Mystical things are so simple. The mind loves to complicate, but mystical things, because God is simple essence, and the closer you get back to that essence, the simpler things become. It's been done, it's there. How do you use something that's there? I don't know. It's much easier if it isn't there, then you have to look for it. Somebody else. Yeah.
I'm new to this. And
we're all new to this, you know.
I'd like to know more about how you feel about the serious troubles in war and famine, and what the great beings connected are they forgetting to look every day? What's happening with that?
There is a tradition, actually, wherever there is a serious trouble in the world, a Sufi is there. Whether that is true or not, I don't know, because I don't know. But Sufis are strange people, because we believe everything is the will of God. And we also learn not to judge by appearances. If you look in your own life, you might find the most difficult times of your life were the most meaningful. I tell you from my own personal experience, I was this last year, with all the difficulties in Bosnia, and it was, and Yugoslavia, it really disturbed me a lot personally. I don't know why. I think because the planes were bombing and there was so much suffering. And I was praying night after night about it. And then a voice said to me, "Do you think I don't love these people?" And this voice came with such tenderness and such compassion. And I really felt in that moment, who am I to judge anything? See, Sufis believe everything is just the way it ought to be, and yet we are also here to help. It is a... Does that make sense? Somebody else.
probably going to say this is very simple as well, but you seem to emphasize that this is not the time for us to be obsessed about self-development. And
correct. Yes.
But in order to surrender and in order to empower ourselves the proper way, or whichever way that is, do we not have to work on ourselves? Or
yes,
how do we do that?
Work on ourselves, yes. Sufis always work on themselves. This is in Sufism, it's called the polishing the mirror of the heart. You work on yourself, you pray, you ask, always. But maybe it's not about you. I personally think there has been a big misunderstanding in a lot of the spiritual traditions that came to America in the last two or three decades. They kind of got caught in this whole Western self-obsession. And it was never meant to be about us. Even the whole idea of enlightenment is, I think, totally misunderstood. I mean, because it's not about us. We were never here for ourselves. It is, yes, we have to work upon ourselves, but not for our own sake, because we don't matter. If you love, look, Sufis are lovers. If you really love somebody, you don't care about yourself. You just want to love them. You look towards them. And if you cry and if your heart bleeds, so you cry and your heart bleeds. And somewhere you don't care because you love. And maybe you learn to love a little bit more, a little bit better. Maybe you learn to please your beloved a bit more, to learn to listen. If you really love somebody, you don't want to talk, you want to listen to your beloved. Because they matter, you don't. And at the beginning, I know, all you see is yourself. And you have to somehow get out of the way. And it's very difficult to get out of the way when you're focused on yourself. That is one of the advantages of the fact that we are needed now desperately to help something else to happen. We are here for something else. And it's like a car. You have to take it to get serviced, you have to get the oil changed, you have to make sure the battery works, but not in order to have a wonderful car, in order to go from A to B. You have to do your spiritual housekeeping in order to be attentive to God, in order to be able to hear the voice of the beloved. That's all. For yourself, you don't matter. It is so unimportant. One day you wake up and say, oh, what a burden this little self was. The difficulty is, and I think Andrew was talking about it earlier, is when you create a spiritual self, that is a real danger. That is a much greater obstacle than a worldly self. I always feel worldly desires, at least you know they are desires. Spiritual desires, much more dangerous, much more difficult to get rid of. To create a spiritual ego, that can become a great obstacle. You know, you think you are somewhere on the path. What path? To where? That's why I love one of the sayings of my sheikh. He was asked about spiritual progress, and he said, progress? Swimming in the infinite ocean, who is nearer the shore? And which shore? All that matters is from where you stand, you look to the beloved. Then your heart looks towards his heart, or her heart, or its heart. And human hearts are so beautiful, you know. That's why it said the prophet loved perfume and beautiful women and the shining of eyes in prayer. When a human heart looks towards God, there is suddenly a light in that. Oh, so beautiful. We are made in the image of God. And when we live in relationship to God, then that reality of ourselves can become manifest. Otherwise, we are kind of, you know, well, you are still young, you get older, you get backaches and headaches, and have to go to chiropractors and therapists and all of that. But somewhere we are totally different. Somebody else.
Can you say more about what the friends of God are waiting for?
What the friends of God are waiting for?
Yeah, you said they're waiting and they can't do anything, but what is it?
Well, humanity has the possibility at this moment in time to make an incredible step in its evolution, in its conscious awakening as a whole. It has to do with the heart of the world opening. Most people don't even know the world has a heart. But there is this whole mystical tradition that, you know, we are the microcosm and the world is also a living entity. The planet is a living entity. I think it's called also the Gaia idea. And the world actually has a heart. Sometimes the world gets sad. And every few millennia, the world of the heart opens. And it is quite, quite extraordinary when it happens. Because in the heart of the human being is written the secrets of the human being. The Sufi actually says it's in the heart of hearts, this very central part of the human being is the seer, the secret. The secret of humanity, the deepest purpose of your existence. And not only the purpose of your existence, but all the energy, the power, the love that is needed to live that part of yourself. And that is why part of the mystical journey is to go within the heart, to uncover this name of God written in gold or written in fire within the heart. Now, just as that is within the heart of each of us, waiting to be lived. Maybe this lifetime you don't live it. Maybe you wait another lifetime to find it. It's always there. It is also true of the world. And for millennia, the purpose of the world is unconscious. It is not known. And humanity goes through its stages of survival or evolution or building up or destroying civilizations. But every few millennia, there is a certain alignment, that a certain coming together, a certain moment in and out of time, it's very difficult to put words in it, that is the right moment, the right environment, the right celestial configuration for the heart of the world to open. And that is what the friends of God have been preparing for the last 200 or 300 years. They have been building this very particular fabric to help humanity respond to this moment. They cannot do it directly because they have no will of their own. And as I say, it is part of the mystery of incarnation that we have freedom, that we have choice. And it is, but they have been creating the optimum circumstance so that when this moment happens, when the heart of the world is just beginning to open, when the heart of the world opens, humanity can participate with the whole secret of the purpose of this planet, which is not as we think it is.